Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. Wow. Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from Marino Television Studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Again, like O.J. Simpson at the airport. Remember those little commercials? Pop went over the luggage and people. That was me. It's like I can't tell time. I don't know. Well, folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Todd, thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate you carrying our program, as well as BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, YouTube Live. I want to just warmly thank everyone for tuning in. And, again, we ask that if you're listening to this via, well, whatever platform you might be listening to this program on, we ask that you click the subscribe button on YouTube. That does elevate us, elevates our visibility. It does a lot of things, because there's a lot of censorship taking place out there, and it's interesting. So so we ask for you to do that. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Casper. How did you sleep last night? Casper mattresses are the best mattresses, bar none. And I'll tell you what, our family, the Hagman family, we use Casper mattresses. Even Lady, the studio dog, she's got her own Casper bed. That's right. Not too spoiled, right? Visit Casper.com/CFP Radio. That's Casper.com/CFP Radio. And for full details, we've got a special offer there for you. More on that later. Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you. We got a great show planned for you tonight. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's get things rocking and rolling here.
Yeah, we have a fantastic show. Joining us now is Lynn Liaz. Her website is
Freedom Nation News.
FreedomNationNews.com, as well as LynnLiaz.com, as that is also the title for her YouTube channel. Ms. Liaz, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Happy to be on your show.
It's great to have you.
Indeed it is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I've been looking forward to it.
And
how are you guys doing tonight?
Very well. And for those who don't know who you are, of course, you're a journalist, a radio show producer and host, author, contributor to just a number of alternative media or independent media and opinion sites, including your own site, of course, Freedom Nation News. And your YouTube channel reaches nearly, you've got 120,000 subscribers. You're one of the leading channels on various topics. Well done. Well done. So that's kind of an introduction to the listeners who have not heard of you. And I can't believe we have anybody in that realm. So, but thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Yes, and the Lord has really blessed me. I recently moved up to 136,595 subscribers. So it's a blessing to be able to reach so many people with the truth when so many things are happening in the world prophetically. And I'm trying to reach out to people and warn them that time is short and warn them to get ready and to repent and to get their houses in order. And it's very hard. It's a hard job being a watchman. You know, warning people of what's coming. You get a lot of crud for doing that from your watered down Christianity that's going around today and corrupting the church. So that's been my biggest message, is repentance and the corrupted body of Christ.
Lynn, you know, this is an interesting topic with us. Excuse me. You had mentioned the crud that comes from being a watchman. And this is one of the topics that irritates me the most. We, you know, Joe and I, we're not pastors. I'm an investigator by by profession, 30 years in as a career investigator, multi-state licensed in the private sector. And that's my background. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. Neither is Joe. But we consider ourselves watchmen. The term watchman, when you say watchman, is there a biblical distinction to the term watchman, or can watchmen encompass people like us?
Well, in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, and I don't have that passage in front of me, but it specifically talks about a watchman and about how they're called to warn the people. And if the watchman knows to warn and does not warn, then the blood of those people will be on their hands. However, if the watchman obeys God and warns the people, but the people reject the warning, then their blood is not on his or her hands. And it's amazing. God is really calling a lot of true watchmen in this hour to warn the people that judgment is here, and we have reached the end of this age as we know it, and that things are going to start happening. Now, people are always asking me, what do you mean by soon? Because I always say soon, and I have to tell them, you know, all I know is there is an urgency in my heart. Only God knows what soon is, but I can only imagine if he's placing that urgency in so many people's hearts that it is going to be very soon. What, next year, in a few months? I have no idea. But, you know, in the message I just put out on my YouTube channel, I warned people. It was a message God gave me about things that are coming. And I told people, you know what? I wouldn't play around with your eternity. It's time to get right with God. And it's time to start showing people how to get saved and telling people the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you're living in outright blatant sin and disobedience, it's time to repent. But the problem is the church isn't telling the truth. They're watering it down. So people are leaving church feeling good. They're not feeling convicted. And you have to be convicted. And that's the devil's whole plan, because where there is no conviction, there is no repentance. Where there is no true repentance, there is no true salvation. And then people are just thinking their sin is okay and living in it and not repenting and truly turning to Jesus Christ.
No, that's exactly right, and that's a great assessment of what we see in the churches today, and it spans through a number of denominations, and it seems to be that what people want, because people are continuing to flock to these churches, as you described, where there is no conviction of sin. Lynn, do you believe that this is adding a layer of spiritual deception throughout our country?
Oh, most definitely. People are very deceived. I can't tell you the amount of commentators on my YouTube channel that they won't come out and say it, but basically what they're stating in a roundabout way is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could continue sinning and just go to God and say, oh, I'm sorry, but keep doing it. Now, we're all guilty of sin. We make mistakes. I'm not talking about that type of sin. I'm talking about this purposeful disobedience to God and just purposefully living in sin and choosing not to turn away from that sin. You know, when we get saved, you know, we get a new heart and we get a new mind, and we're supposed to be trying to have like the mind of Christ and to think with the mind of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And so the messages being preached from the pulpit today is the feel-good message. And people go home and they just live the way they want to live. They might say a prayer once in a while or go to church on Sunday, if that. And they do everything else that they're not supposed to be doing that really upsets God. And I sense that God is very unhappy with the body of Christ right now because of this watered down Christianity. In fact, I always call it the New Age Woodstock hippie Jesus make love not war crowd, because that's what they serve, this Jesus that they think basically is, you know, like this new age happy-go-lucky Jesus that says it's okay to sin, just tell me you're sorry by the end of the night. And that's what they think, and it's sad.
It is sad. the preachers who, what do you think the reason is that the preachers continue to preach a watered down, alternative to the Bible message? Is it because it continues to bring people back? Is it because they don't want to offend people? What have you seen, while looking at this issue?
I think there's quite a few reasons. Number one, I think money is an issue. Number two, I think that they're afraid to offend anybody. We have this whole political correctness going on in the church today. They're afraid of offending. They don't want to have confrontations with anyone. And I also think a lot of them are not knowledgeable in end times prophecy. They are knowledgeable about the feel-good message, the love message. But when it comes to your end times Bible prophecy, the book of Revelation, Daniel, and so forth, they just aren't really knowledgeable in that. They don't spend a lot of time in it.
I agree. Joe and I both agree, by the way. Let me ask you something, Lynn. I watched your warning, repentance warning, earlier today. What do you think's coming? What do you think is coming?
I don't know, but it's not good. I think that God is fed up, and I can't tell you how much criticism and trolling comments I got on that video, even from Christians who said I was wrong because I used the word angry and hate in reference to God, stating that, God hates the sin. I never said God hated people, and that God was very angry with this corrupt church. And it's totally biblical.
I'd back you up God, on that.
Yeah, God's anger and, all of those things are all perfectly biblical. But people disregard the Old Testament God, and he's the same God. Okay, I look at the Bible like this. We look at it from Genesis to Revelation. It starts, of course, with creation, then God's judgment. Then we go in and we see the God of love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness through Jesus.
Yep.
But then it ends with God's judgment again. And so all these Christians that forget about the Old Testament and the God of judgment, I remind them, okay, so let's just look at the New Testament then. Okay. What about the book of Revelation? You know what? That's, what do you make of that? Well, I don't understand it. They don't understand, or they come up with some excuse. And I'm just trying to help people so that they're not taken by surprise. People don't understand that God's judgment is one of the most profound examples of his love. We look at it as scary and horrible, but in actuality, judgment is what leads to repentance and saves the eternal soul. God cares more about our eternity than he does this physical life that we live here, but for a moment on this earth.
Amen. And you're exactly right. It's interesting, the judgment, the whole patriarchal nature of God and our existence versus what we see, the matriarchal uprising, which is, I know I'm kind of going on a sidetrack here, but that's okay. It's just, all of this is interesting, and it kind of goes back to my question, what do you see coming? But now to incorporate your response, with respect to the Old and New Testament and the judgment and such, I look at the geographical or, geopolitical spectrum, look across the geopolitical spectrum, and I see we've got so many problems. But one of the biggest problems I see is the lack of solidarity among Christians or self-professed Christians. So many Christians are so quick to tear other Christians down in the name of Christianity. I just, Lynn, I look at this, and again, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a minister, I'm the furthest thing from it. But man, if I was an atheist or a Satanist or a Muslim, I'd be laughing at the Christians and saying, you guys can't get your act together. I mean, is that what you see in a sense?
Yeah, we look like a bunch of fools, to be honest. And the Bible tells us avoid foolish disputes. And Christians, I think, are among the worst for online fighting and bickering. I mean, you mentioned the rapture or pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and you'll get a whole lot of poo-slinging. going on among Christians, they'll end a friendship over that discussion. So Christians can be the worst. And we have to remember that we are trying to please God. And in so doing, it's not about the flesh. Ephesians 6:10-20 tells us that our battle is not against one another, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And, you know, we know that Satan is alive and well on this earth, and his band of brothers, his demons, are working overtime, especially right now in these end times, to bring deception, to lead people astray, to cause confusion. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So we've got to find a way to not have hatred and bitterness in our hearts toward one another. Even if we don't agree on something, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would say to every Christian out there who can hear my voice, it is time for all of us to join together prayerfully, faithfully, obediently in Christ, put our differences aside. If we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, and we have accepted Him as Savior, it is time for us to just join together and start praying and start battling these demonic forces and powers of hell, because God has told me in my spirit, and this was a message I put out a few months ago, that people are concerned about this and concerned about that, but what they're not really looking at is the spiritual battle that we are in for. And He told me in my spirit that many of us are not prepared in the slightest for this major spiritual battle that is going to be unlike any that we have ever known, and we're not prepared for it. And it's already coming against us now. There's a lot of people who are already facing these spiritual battles. I can't tell you how many Christians I've talked to that are going through the worst time in their life with something, and we're not prepared for it. It's time for us to armor up and to repent and to get it right. We've spent most of our lives doing stuff wrong and not obeying God, but now is the time more than ever to get it right and to quit missing the mark and to obey God and get the message of truth out and quit looking foolish in front of all the people with our bickering and our stupidity.
Lynn, you mentioned anger just a little bit ago, and I want to touch on this if you can a little bit. The political atmosphere in this country right now is, you have polar opposites, and you see this in the media, you see this in the political movements, and this brings out anger in a lot of people, and rightfully so. Some people should be frustrated, and it should be a shock to their system to see some of these behaviors and what's being promoted from the political aisle, from abortions to homosexual marriage to, you know, this acceptance of Islam and, you know, basically the bowing down to it. What's your advice for people who find themselves angry? As we know in the scriptures, you should not be angry with...
You're speaking to me too, Lynn, because my default setting is anger. I'm not proud of it, but frankly, seriously, that's where I'm very angry. However, if I can temper it by saying, Joe, I feel there's some righteous anger there more than, well,
see, Scripture talks about anger, but it doesn't differentiate between people having righteous anger or, you know, unrighteous anger. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was going to say that there's a big difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And we know that Jesus got very angry, when people were selling stuff in the temple. And by the way, for the New Testament Christians out there, that was in the New Testament. So Jesus got angry about that. And I think a lot of us are feeling the anger of the Holy Spirit within us about these things. Now, what's important is that we don't step over into sin with that anger and lash out at people. Interestingly enough, and I won't say his name, but a very well-known person who's an author and does a lot of issues on science stuff in relation to the Bible. He and I were talking, and he was just really upset by some comments below a YouTube video. And what I said to him is, I said, you know what? I used to get really upset about that too a long time ago. But to be honest with you, it's a form of persecution. And now, if I don't get the trolling comments, I actually feel worried. Because when I'm getting attacked, I know that I'm making the devil mad. And that's what it's all about. And when you make the devil mad, even in Christians who are being convicted for sin, they will instantly begin to get angry, some of them. And that's why they're getting angry. They're getting convicted for something that they're doing. They don't want to hear it. Maybe they're in denial about it. And they get mad. So we have to remember to be bold as a lion, but to be as humble as a lamb. And Paul, in the New Testament, he is a perfect example of being bold and humble. So we're allowed to get righteously angry, but at the same time remain humble. It's a hard thing for a lot of us to do, but start taking these things as a form of persecution and confirmation from God that you are on the right track, you're pleasing Him, and you are making some demons really upset, and then give praise to God and thank God for it. And just keep moving forward. And those trolling comments and all the hatred I get a lot of hate. Those types of things just keep me hitting certain topics that much harder. They don't make me give up. It just makes me want to push more.
You know, the hatred, the hateful comments, I look at those and I think, you know, what empty lives these people must have, really. But aside from that, what concerns me more than the hateful comments is the government overreach, the censorship, the attempt to silence you, me, us, all of us, our shows. Have you experienced any of that? And go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead and answer that.
Yeah. Have you experienced any type of censorship on your channel, on your website, on your message at all?
Not that I'm aware of, but I did have Pastor Paul Begley on recently, and he actually had 3 visits from the NSA. They actually threatened his life, and I have a whole video about that on my channel. So it is happening. I haven't noticed anything. Now, the night I put that video up, my phone was doing weird stuff. I don't know if it was just coincidence, but my phone was doing weird stuff. So that was really freaky. But I haven't really noticed anything. You know, maybe God's just doing something there or protecting me from it. I don't know.
Lynn, we got about 2.5 minutes before break or so, 3 minutes before break. What is your, how are Christians, because we talk about a lot of issues on this show, a lot of issues that are going on in the mainstream news, a lot of issues that are going on in society. When we have a government and political institutions backed up by the media that are promoting anti-biblical, sinful behaviors constantly, what are Christians to do in the face of this? We know we can. There's only certain actions we can take. But what do you urge people to do to combat these things in our society?
Speak the truth to people about it. Don't partake in it. You know, how many Christians sit at home and watch very ungodly television shows with witchcraft, satanic symbolism in it, nudity, sex, scantily clad women, just cursing, GD, and all sorts of things, and they think, well, it's no big deal, and we're not supposed to partake in those things, and we're supporting it by partaking in it. Don't buy things or partake in things that you would not do if Jesus was sitting right next to you. That's one huge thing you can do. If you get a petition for something, sign it. You know, if whatever it is opposing something evil, sign it. You know, pray about it. Go to town spiritually in prayer about these situations. But not enough of us are doing those things. We need to really be praying. I'm guilty of it myself sometimes. You know, you get tired at night and the quick bedtime prayer, Lord, thank you for this day and bless this person and that person, forgive me my sin, amen. That's good and all, but we really need to do some spiritual warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned when we started, you were talking about the churches and a lot of the churches' watered down messages. And with that watering down comes a lack of talk and or even the spiritual warfare issue. It's not even really recognized in many of these churches, especially the ones that go with the softer, you know, alternative gospel that we see today. And that is a big problem. Would you say, we read about the great deception and the deception that comes in the last days. Do you believe that these churches preaching alternative gospels and the alternative Jesus is part of that great deception, or do you think this is something that is just a run up to that?
No, it is definitely part of the great deception, because if Satan can get into the body of Christ and corrupt it, he can lead so many souls to hell. And through those people, those same people that are in those churches are going out and telling other people things, and they're not telling people the truth. It is an act of love to tell the truth. I mean, we don't have to come at somebody and hit them over the head, but we need to be telling the truth about what the Bible really has to say about sin, and that God is not happy about it, and that we can't live in that, and we need to be honest. We can do it in a spirit of love, but we have to tell the truth. We may get persecuted for it, laughed at, we may lose a friend, but that is what we're called to do.
Absolutely. Folks, we're talking with Lynn Liaz. Her website, freedomnationnews.com, and then lynnliaz.com is where people can go find your books. Is that correct?
Soul Deceiver.
Yes.
Soul Deceiver.
Yes, Soul Deceiver.
Fantastic, yes. By the way. Good reading.
Thank you.
And I know we're up against the break. Lynn will be with us through part of the next segment. I believe she has to cut out sometime in the middle there, but she'll be with us after these short messages. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Thank you.
back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com, that's where to go for all of the news information, news that you need to know in the run-up to our shows. And, of course, Hagman and Hagman.com, that's where you can find all of our venues where we broadcast. And I just want to say hello to Marie in, actually, she's in Sweden. Thank you. Yeah, Sweden. And we actually heard from another listener from Sweden today as well. Hello from Sweden. Interesting. Before we get back to Lynn Liaz, of course, her website, freedomnationnews.com. Before we get back to her, folks, if you don't have one already, get one. What am I referring to? Minuteman Rocket Stove. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. In these times, it just makes sense to have a very reliable, sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of the most important basic tasks that we have to do, and that's cook or heat water, preparing food. We all need a way to cook. We need a method to heat water, to process water. A disruption in the power or fuel, the power supply or fuel distribution. Is going to put most people out of business or cause serious inconvenience to all of us. Folks, a Minuteman Rocket Stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. There are a lot of rocket stoves out there, but and we've tried several, many high-name brands. Minuteman Rocket Stove is the best of the best. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. With decent wood, it's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down your wood gathering needs. It's virtually smokeless. It's easy to feed, easy to use. Folks, do this now. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman Rocket Stove today. It's going to make bad times much better, believe me. And by the way, these stoves are all handmade in the United States. Everyone handmade in North Carolina. They're extremely rugged. They come with a 2-year guarantee. No one's taken advantage of that. No need to. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Lynn Liaz is our guest, and we're so delighted to have her. Lynn, you got a heck of a following. What's your secret? Seriously, I that's not a softball question. I'm curious. What do you think is your secret? Of your popularity on your YouTube channel?
I don't have any idea, to be honest. I don't know, other than God is doing something, because I didn't really start using it religiously, no pun intended, until, I don't know, about January of 2014, and it just grew like wildfire. And so I just give God the glory for that. You know, I'm trying to tell the truth to people as the best way I can, so they'll accept it and hear it and believe it, and trying to get through to them. And when God speaks to me, I put out the message that He wants. So I just think that it's His blessing, letting it grow.
That was kind of an odd question, I'm sure, to you, but here's why I asked. Joe and I were talking about this earlier before the show started, and I think people are hungry. People are hungry for the truth, but the truth through the lens, through the prism of the scriptures. I think that through a Christian worldview, that's kind of what I was thinking, and you deliver that product very well. You were on with Paul McGuire here recently on God TV. Wasn't that like within the last couple of months, or am I mistaken on that?
It was last June when I spoke at the Prophecy in the News conference.
Okay.
That's when I was on his show, and that was exciting. And I have Paul and Troy on my show quite a bit. They're great. Love them both dearly. But yeah, I'm just always trying to speak the truth to people. And I tell people often, it was back in 2013, and I didn't even have the internet very long at that point, and I wasn't doing anything like this. But the Lord spoke to me when I was praying, and He said, Lynn, He said, you're going to build an ark. And I thought He meant a physical ark, and I had this funny thought of myself with an axe and gopher wood. And I'm like, okay, this can't be the Lord. That's too funny. And He said, no, Lynn, not a physical ark, a spiritual ark. He said, you won't understand it now, but you're going to build an ark. an end times ark. I said, oh, well, I don't, yeah, Lord, you're right. I don't understand. Can you tell me more about this? He said, no, not now. So I can only assume that what I'm doing right now by being a watchman and sending out the warning, if you think of what Noah did, Noah was building this ark for protection from the flood that was coming. And he was also a preacher and a watchman warning people. The people didn't listen. And then when the floods came, you know, they begged to be let in, but the door was slammed shut and sealed by God and it could not open. And so I think that what I'm doing now is part of that. I'm warning people, telling them, hey, get on board. Get on board with Jesus Christ now before it's too late. And so I think that's part of it. I don't know if it's all of it. There could be more.
Lynn, we've seen in recent years a huge increase in Christian censorship, Bible studies and prayers being thrown out of school. And, you know, this trend is continuing to increase, and we see, you know, even a lot of public hate towards Christianity. Do you think this trend is going to continue till it is legislated out of existence? What's your thoughts on the future of Christianity in the public?
Well, of course it's going to get worse, because the Bible tells us, you know, in the end times prophecy, in the book of Revelation, there's going to be persecution, and what is good will be considered evil. What is evil will be considered good. And heck, we're living that right now. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And it has to. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. Why? So that God can bring judgment on evil. And so that all the people going way back when, everybody who belongs to the Lord will finally be vindicated and evil will be done away with. So this has to happen. So prophecy, even though it can seem negative, is a good thing. And I mentioned stuff earlier too, to do with God's judgment being a great act of his love. And one thing I want to give out this verse that happened to be the verse of the day on the Bible app. And it goes with what we're talking about. And this is in the New Testament. It is John 3, verse 36. It says, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who does not obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. So for those of you out there listening who think that, you know, this New Testament God that you're serving doesn't get angry, you're wrong. God does get very angry, but he gets angry because he loves us, just like a parent gets angry at their child when their child disobeys.
Well said. And thanks for that verse.
And I want to ask you, what Bible app do you use on your phones? Because I've talked about, I like to, when I read the Bible, I also like to put the app on and listen to it in a headset while I read. And every time we mention that, we get a number of emails asking, you know, well, what app do you use? What app do you use?
I use the Bible app, and it's by YouVersion.
Okay.
YOUVERSION. It's really good too. They've got all sorts of cool stuff on there. Videos, they've got little devotional things you can do in studies. You know, if you're having trouble with your marriage, they've got devotional studies you can do, like daily plans. You get the daily verse and you can share it with people. It's really an awesome program. I encourage people to use it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's the same one I have on my phone. And it does have a lot of extras in there that it's easy to navigate as well. And it gives you the audio option too, if that's something that you want to use. Lynn, how much longer are you able to stay with
me? Yeah, we're 39 minutes into this, and we want to be respectful of your time.
Oh, you're okay. About 15
top
minutes
of the hour?
Or so.
Top of the hour?
Yeah, we can go.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you. Because I was about ready to say, let's do some lightning round questions real quick. But we can take a little bit more time on that. If you don't mind, what do you think of Donald Trump in terms of obviously current events, Christian biblical worldview? Donald Trump thoughts?
Wow, that's a loaded question. And the reason I say that is, okay, the problem I'm seeing, and I'm going to get probably a lot of people upset with me, the problem I'm seeing is that people are looking at Trump instead of Jesus. And I'm seeing this, it's like a Trump worship. Okay, I don't have anything against Trump. I'm glad to see that we finally got Obama out of the White House and we didn't get Hillary. So it's not about that. It's just that we're supposed to be looking to God. A man or a woman is not going to solve our problems, and it's not going to happen overnight. And I personally think we're at a place and time prophetically that it's only going to keep moving forward. I hate to sound negative. I know a lot of people think that we have all this extra time now, but I haven't seen the body of Christ repenting, and judgment begins in the house of God. So until we see the body of Christ repenting, we can't just assume that, oh, we've got more time now. So, you know, that's my opinion. I think that there's just a lot of people who are just basically idolizing Trump as our savior. I even been getting strange emails from some church, I don't know who they are, saying that they're starting a new religion because Trump is sent to us from God as our Lord and Savior, like Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's dangerous.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I see a lot of people arguing as well about Trump. And we were just talking about anger and bickering earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't allow ourselves to let our political differences or things like that to affect our relationship that we have with not just each other, but more importantly with God, because when we start getting into things like that, we make God unhappy. So we can't do that. But yeah, that's my opinion for what it's worth. My only concern is people need to be looking to God right now, because there is not a human being that is going to save us. That one already came, and that was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He already came, and he's coming again. So that's our Lord and Savior. So,
well, that's an interesting answer about Trump, and seriously, people need to be more less concerned about the man, obviously, more concerned about our, you know, our own salvation, their own salvation, and of course our Lord and Savior. So I agree with you on that. Geopolitical events, what do you have your eyes on? If I mean, in terms of events taking place across the world, Israel, big in the news right now, of course, as it is always, but what are you looking at? What is Lynn Leoz looking at in terms of geopolitics across the globe?
I watch Israel, and I can see some sort of a peace agreement sometime in the near future coming about. And the one I'm talking about, yes, is the big end times peace agreement that gets signed. And I see something like that happening. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can see things like that happening. I was really surprised not too long ago that Putin and Netanyahu were both, what was it, they were asked by Israel, or asked by the Jews, to do something like a Cyrus with a temple or something to help finance it. And I don't know, because I haven't followed up, if they ever did help them with that. But I can see some sort of a peace type of agreement coming into fruition. And we know, of course, that's huge prophetically. But yeah, I encourage everybody to watch Israel. If you want to know what's happening, watch what's going on over there. We still have this whole ordeal with Palestine and this two-state solution. So I think that's something to definitely watch.
Lynn, any thoughts on the, I guess you'd say, the rumors of war that we see going on? We have the North Korea, you know, threatening nuclear action on the United States. And this is not anything new. This has happened in the past, but the rhetoric does seem to be increasing with their missile tests. You have tensions between a number of different nations about, you know, from the South China Sea disputes. And then you have, you know, these behind the scenes economic wars through trade and sanctions. Any thoughts on upcoming conflict, between North Korea, the U.S.,
yeah,
or any other nations?
I think ultimately there's going to be conflict with all of us. We know that World War III is a huge part of Bible prophecy, and we know that there has to be chaos to bring about this new world order, one world government, and there has to be this new world order, one world government to bring about the Antichrist, this, you know, the one world satanic leader. So I think there's going to be conflict all over the place, and I think that it's just building up to that with everything that's going on. We even have the threat of an economic collapse, and people are predicting that, you know, if we go by history, that it's supposed to happen this year. So there's all sorts of things that could happen. We have strange weather, threats of some major earthquake. There's been prophecies about the New Madrid and the Cascadia, San Andreas, and there's just all sorts of things happening that we have never really seen before. So I think something is definitely going to happen.
Okay. I got a question kind of out of left field. It pertains to Bible prophecy, but it's something I don't think that a lot of people don't completely understand. The mark of the beast. We have this increase in technology. We've seen recently that they want this transhumanist agenda to go through, where technology and computers are merging with humans and their minds. They talk about, you know, this one world consciousness. And then you have, you know, the RFID issues. Any thoughts on the mark of the beast, how you would expect to see that rolled out, or especially with what we're seeing today with the increases in technology?
Well, a lot of people believe that it's going to be the microchip or the RFID, and that's already been being used in clubs over in Europe somewhere for a long time for a membership. They also use such a thing in the elderly to keep track of them, tracking devices. Interesting that such a thing was first used in animals to track their migration habits. Now, this is just a coincidence and funny, but it's worth mentioning. But isn't it interesting? It's called the mark of the beast. And if you think about it, it was first used in animals to track their migration. And what are animals known as beasts? So that's just an interesting thing. But I can see that really being pushed and, you know, coming into play. We know the Bible tells us that it will happen. Can I see it happening tomorrow? No. But I do see it in the near future. And it's a scary thing. You know, we don't really know for sure what is this thing that's going to be the mark of the beast. We can only kind of try to figure it out based on what the Bible describes it and what we see going on. Personally, I think it's the RFID chip.
Yeah, I mean, the only question is how would they roll it out? Would it be incrementally rolled out? Would it be rolled out after a major disaster? But I
well, if I can pile on here, just for, you know, what I am curious about, Lynn, and well, what I'm curious about, what would make people, even the most marginal of Christians, think it's okay to accept the mark of the beast? The deception that okay, if from a deceived point of view or deception point of view, you know what I mean?
Yes.
What would cause that?
I don't really know, and that's just being honest. I do know that if you look at the healthcare industry, the way they have everything on the computer now, okay, linked together in a network, all of your records and everything, they could say, hey, if you want medical care, you have to have this. But I'm kind of, you know, up in the air too. How are they going to deceive the people that know better? There has to be some way they're going to deceive people that people would take it. So it's an interesting question and an interesting thought. But, you know, who knows? If people couldn't get medical care, let's say your kid is so sick they're about to die, and they have to have medical care, and you're sitting there watching your child suffer, and you know as a parent how it is to watch your child suffer, but you can't get your kid medical care without all of you having this chip or this mark, maybe a lot of people will give in because they're sick, they don't want to die, they don't want to watch somebody they love die. Maybe they could go to prison for being negligent in the medical needs of their family because they aren't taking this mark.
And I think you're right. It talks about in the Bible, unless you have the mark, nobody can buy or sell, basically be part of and conduct transaction in the economy. And I think that, I don't think it's an issue of deception, more of weakness and human necessity, not being able
desperation.
To... Desperation. Exactly. And I think a lot of people will be deceived, especially non-believers. The only thing I wonder about where it says, if the days weren't cut short, and if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's the one verse that makes me wonder, what else is there that's going on that we haven't seen yet, or maybe we won't see it until we go through it. But I wonder about that, because it does sound more of a deception style than of necessity. But we know that that people will not be able to be part of the economy, will not be able to function as they do today. No bank accounts, no health care, as you mentioned, no groceries, no utilities or services unless you are part of that system. So I wonder what that deception is, that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived.
Well, if you don't mind me adding this in, I remember years ago, was it back in, I want to say it was 2008 or something like that, there was a big power outage from a hurricane down south, and there was people without power, some of them for a month. I did not have any power for like two and a half weeks. I have never seen such chaos. There was traffic jams at the gas station. People were beating each other up and physically and verbally fighting and cussing each other out. People were cutting in front of one another. This was just over a power outage, okay? So imagine now, I want everybody listening to imagine that you have no access to your money in the bank. You do not have anything stored up for yourselves. No preparedness. You don't have anything financially, not even bartering items. Okay? You've got nothing. You have no, you can't use your car. You can't gas up your car. There's no electricity. Martial law is being imposed. People are just out there going nuts. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be panic and hysteria. People are going to kill to get what they need to provide and protect for their family. And I think that's natural. Some of that's natural human instinct too. You know, when you see death before you, you instantly do whatever you can. Instinct, you know, kicks in and you do whatever you can to survive. So yeah. People are going to be doing whatever they can to survive, and it's going to be crazy. And then add to that the other Bible prophecies about earthquakes and all sorts of crazy stuff that's going to happen. Sickness. So maybe that's how there's going to be so much rampant sickness, is because nobody can go to a doctor. People, everything's filthy. People can't flush their toilets or do anything. It's going to be gross, and people are going to get sick. Then they can get medical care because they won't get the mark of the beast. So, you know, maybe that's one way it could play out.
Well, interesting indeed to think about. Lynn, got about 2 minutes left. Talk about your book and any upcoming appearances. Go ahead and promote those. But definitely talk about your book, where to get it, and upcoming appearances that you'd like to promote as well. Floor is yours, 2 minutes.
Okay, my book is Soul Deceiver, The Deception Begins, and it is a book about the one world religion. And I encourage everybody to read it. It was a book that the Lord gave me the message to, very powerful. It is fiction. There's a lot of fast-paced action and suspense in it, a lot of emotion pulling in it. So they can get it at Amazon or Thomas Nelson West Bow Press. So those are a couple places to get it. I do have a video trailer on my YouTube. As far as any public appearances, I do not have any coming up, but you can always go to my YouTube channel if you want to hear my voice or possibly see me. That's my most public appearance right now. So you can do that.
You make some great videos, by the way. And you're very, it's nice to see you. Seriously, it's nice to see you on your videos. I just want to tell you, it's great to see you when you discuss various topics. Very studious.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I got on there once when I was sick, or maybe twice, and all these people are writing to me telling me how awful I look. I'm like, thanks. I'm sick. What do you want me to do? But I try. But my lighting isn't all that great in this house, except for during the day, and so I don't really have an office or a studio in the home I'm in, so that can be difficult too. But I just want to encourage everybody out there to love the Lord with all of your heart, all your body, all your mind, your soul, and everything, and just to love Him. And if you fall in love with Him, don't just love Him because He's good or love what you know about Him, but I encourage you to go to the Lord and ask Him to teach you how to fall in love with Him, because if you fall in love with Him, you will find that you want to serve Him and you want to do all those things that make Him happy. Just like when you're in love with another person, you want to put on your best dress, you know, do your hair and makeup, stay up on the phone all night, write love letters and all those good things. You drive an hour across town in the middle of the night just to give the person a kiss. Well, God wants you to do that sort of thing for Him. You know, stay up late and read His letters, which are in the Bible. Talk to Him on the heavenly phone. You know, you can get a hold of Him anytime that you want. You think about the most famous person that you really like, or you shouldn't, but idolize, and imagine God is more famous.
You're absolutely right. Great advice. Thank you so much for joining us. Lynn Liaz, freedomnationnews.com, Lynn Liaz on YouTube, as well as lynnliaz.com. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You have
a great
evening.
God bless you. You too, thanks.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve St. Agnello from srsroccoreport.com.
Or, if you prefer, Steve St. Angelo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did that twice today. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks and Pro Flowers and Casper Mattress and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits that we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.